only for a season, long enough for you to get corrected. But he asks you, you have to do your part, wash you, turn from your evil ways, turn back to me. And Isaiah says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So God is able to cleanse us. Three B's of Jesus Christ. Now I just want to, again, when you go rabbit hunting, we know there's rabbits in the field, but you got to make your way out to the field. We're getting to Isaiah. We're getting to a place in the Bible where I want to spend some time. But on the way, I might step on the rabbit because he's hiding or there's many rabbits in there. I've gone hunting and I've come to the field and somebody's going out. He says, oh, there's no game in there. And it might be because he was moving so fast that the game saw him and they hid. So I want to just take my time and just walk tenderly. I don't want to tiptoe through the tulips like, what was his name? Yeah, but I do want to walk tenderly. I want to hit as many little holes that I can. I want to hit as many different subjects that some of us may be dealing with in our minds. Birth, baptism, and by the devil he was tempted. Isaiah 7:4, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So the people didn't want to believe God. He said, ask for a sign, I'll give you a sign. And the king Ahaz, he didn't ask for a sign. So he said, I'll give you a sign. He said, behold, in the process of time, a virgin will bring forth a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel. So the birth of Jesus was a prophetic birth. It was prophesied many, many years before. Mark 1:9-10. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus, now he's born, and the thing about it, you think you got it bad, you think the law is on your tail. From the time that Jesus was born, they were out to kill him. Don't you recall where the scripture says that the king had them to kill so many babies between a certain age, trying to see if one of them might be the Jesus the Christ? But the scripture tells us that if God be for you, who can be against you? So it came to pass that in those days, Jesus came forth. He started his ministry at about 30. His ministry was only 3 years. What can you and I do in 3 years from now? 3 years, many of us are already Christians. Some of us who tonight will give your life to Christ. What can God do to you and then through you in the next 3 years? And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in Jordan. Jesus came from the ghetto. Nazareth was just like a ghetto. And that's why they said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? When they look at you and me and they see us not in bloom, you know, a landscaper in the fall and he's trying to weed, he might make the mistake, or early spring, he might make this mistake of pulling up something that's really a flower, but it don't look like a flower. Sometimes people look at us and they can't see the beauty in us. When God saw me, he saw the best in me. I couldn't even see the best in me. Sometimes when we don't see the best in me, we give up and we fall in and we say, this must be it. If that's all there is, then let's go party. But it came to pass that Jesus came and he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. He was immersed, not dipped. I mean, he was immersed or dipped, not sprinkled. We believe in believer's baptism. We want you to be of age to understand what you're doing, what God did for you. We're baptized because God, through Jesus Christ, was our example, and he was baptized, so we want to be. And also, he left us two ordinances, baptism and the Holy Lord's Supper. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. So when you're baptized, and again, this is a this is rabbit hunting preacher. It's a lot of different subjects, not just three. When you're baptized, and if you haven't been and you want to be, see, Pastor, when you're baptized and the preacher puts you down in the water, it's symbolic of you're being buried. The sins, your sins are being buried. buried. When the preacher brings you up out of the water, you're coming up a new creature in Christ. The scripture says, any man, that means all of us, any man or woman who is in Christ is a new creature. Behold, look, old things are passed away. All things will become new. Now, when I come up out of the water, and I've been a Christian for a while, you've been a Christian, it don't seem like old things are passed away. Your flesh has not been renewed. Your flesh is still going to be your flesh. But trust in what the Holy Spirit said and what the Holy Spirit does. Greater is he that is in you now that you've given your life to Christ. Amen. Than he that's in the world. You can overcome every temptation like we'll see in a minute, like Jesus Christ did. He's our example. The same thing he did to overcome the temptations of the devil we can do. Temptation is not sin. We can be tempted all day long. Temptation is not sin. It's the yielding to temptation that is sin. Some man told me once, it's not the first look that kills, it's the second and the third. Okay. Luke 4:13, and Jesus, listen, being full of Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the... I just want a side note that's not in here. When Jesus first came to, after his baptism, birthed in baptism, he was led, let me do it this way. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did not eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward was hungered. God knows, Satan knows how to come to you at your weakest moment. As strong as we think we are, and we might have been strong yesterday, but today is a new day. But his mercies are also new every day. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, Satan knew who Jesus was. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus answers him saying, it is written. They didn't have the Bible, they had the scrolls. But he said, it is written. And that's what we have to do. We got to eat this thing. And get it down in us. And when we need to resist the devil, it'll come forth. And Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. So Jesus fought back the devil with the word of God, with his sword. And I'm calling it a shotgun today, but with his sword. And that's what you want. When I was in the military, I kept my little teeny pocket Bible in my back pocket all the time. And Jesus answered him saying, it is written. So that's what we have to do. We have to be able to give back the word of God. We got to regurgitate it up when it's needed. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Okay, so yeah, you can go and live your life in sin and worship the devil in more ways than one, and think that, you know, you're okay. But Jesus already knew that he was the creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. In Genesis, let us make man in our image. If thou therefore wilt worship me, Satan said, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple high up, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. Jesus answered once again with the word, it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Let us not put ourselves in situations where we will be tempted. Let us not force God's hands. God can get us out of any situation. But let's try to sidestep, just like the rabbit steps the dog. Let's try to sidestep some things that we don't really have to get into. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. So Satan will depart from you, but you have to realize and remember that it's only for a season. Notice here, next scripture, Jesus was not tempted by God, although he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. James 1, 12 through 13 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." God uses the devil. He knows the devil's there. He knows what the devil's trying to do. But he knows what he's put inside of you, his Holy Spirit. And he knows that you can overcome when you decide to. When my daughters went off to college, I told them, I'm not afraid and concerned about the things that's out there for you that you don't want to participate in. What I'm praying for as your father back here in Philadelphia is that you will resist the things that you do want to give into in your flesh. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he, no man. God uses temptation. God uses, not temptation, but God uses the devil, and the devil brings on the temptation and different things. When the devil tempts, he's trying to destroy you. It was told to Peter, I think it was, "Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you." God will use everything at his disposal. He causes all things to work together for the good to those who love the Lord, and is called according to his purpose, not ours. So that scripture doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't work for the non-believers. This thing, all of the promises of God are there for those of us that believe. Job 1, just a good example of how God used evil to bring about his purpose. Job 1, there was a man, and if you ever, I noticed if you're ever using your phone to listen to the Bible, and that's another good way, your time is going in many different ways, so just take your phone and put on the Bible and listen to it audibly. There was a man in the land of Uz, not like the Wizard of Oz, but in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. So Job was a rich man, but he wasn't a self-made man. He knew that his riches came from the Lord. The Bible says, and we sometimes get it wrong, we think that we are all of that and we're the one that went out and got everything that we got. But the Bible says, it is he that gives us the power to earn wealth. Amen. Okay, he gives us the wisdom or the power here, whatever it is. And sometimes those of us who used to have power here, we don't have it no more. But hopefully and prayerfully, we still have it here. God gives us what we need to earn wealth. So we have to realize all good gifts come from above. And it's not from we ourselves. It's not we ourselves that made us, but he. So he was a great man. And God is amazing. His ways are different from our ways. Job wasn't doing nothing but minding his own business. And one day, Satan and God was talking, and God said to Satan, "Have you considered," please forgive me, pastors, if I paraphrase a little bit. God said to Satan, "Have you considered my boy Job?" It's almost as if God sick Job on him. God's ways are different. I'm going to digress. Even Moses, when he said, "Moses, all of you know the story, go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." But he told Moses right up front, "I'm going to harden his heart." I say, God, why send me to somebody? You already told me that you are hard. But God is causing all things. Let everything that be done and has to be done to bring about my will. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for the sister, so all of his kids were in the house. And it was said, I'm just going to skip this, Job and God had the conversation. And Satan said, yeah, Job is, he's cool because you put a hedge of protection around him. I know that all of you have had a hedge of protection around you because there have been some situations you were in where God has protected you from seen and unseen dangers because he knows what he wants to do in your life. Rebuild, renew, and restore, cause you to rebuild and help somebody else. So Satan said that, yeah, you got a hedge of protection around him. God says, okay, you can mess with him, but you can't take his life. So Satan came and destroyed all of his kids. All of his kids were wiped out. All of his substance was gone. All of his riches was gone. And even Satan began to mess with his body. He had boils and sores, and he was just a mess physically. Even his wife came to him, the last person on the earth you expect, and said, why don't you just cuss God and die? And Satan said, you sound like one of them foolish people. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's what we have to realize, because when we sin and fall short and need to be chastised, even though he's chastising us, it's out of love. It don't seem like love. When God was wanting to draw Saul before he became Paul, and Saul was trying to kill all of the Christians and throw them in lion's dens, he had to knock Saul off of his animal or his horse or his beast and blind him. But it was out of love. God says, with everlasting kindness have I drawn thee. It don't seem so kind when you knock somebody off and you blind them. God's ways are higher than our ways. He knows what it takes for each one of you. But he also knows each one of us, which ones will not ever accept. But all things are possible with God. So he knocked Saul off of his horse and blinded him in order for him to say, who art thou, Lord? And he said, it's me, Jesus Christ, who you are crucifying. We crucify God and Christ every day when we sin. It's like sin is a slap in the face of God. And yet he hung on the cross and never said a mumbling word. He could have come down off of the cross but he looked through the centuries and he saw each one of you. And he said, it's the love that kept him, the love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's his love for you that kept him there. Amen. Okay? When he was on the cross, he had you on his mind. He knew you would be here right now. He knew some of you would be believers here, of course, and some would not. Would be like Tom, Dalton Thomas. And that's cool. That's great. God understands that. He understands when you have doubts. But you're here today by divine appointment so that you can receive the word of God. I'm just another voice in the wilderness. It's the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that's moving right now in this church. You might think of it as an auditorium, but this is a church. But it's his Holy Spirit. And if he speaks to you, if he's drawing you, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Just submit. Satan is still going to and fro on the earth, seeking whom he may destroy. Okay? And the Lord said, and I'll go into the next slide. The next slide. While he was yet speaking, all right, that's still about Job. I can't really see the clock, so I'm just going to skip. 11:45. Oh, how? 11:45. Thank you so much. Luke 4:16 through 21. And while she's turning to that next slide, Luke 4:16 through 21. Okay. The mission of the Messiah. God will send a Savior. The Savior, the Messiah, will come to not only save Israel, but to save his people. And you're going to see in just a few minutes before I move on that God, the Savior, Messiah, will come to save not only Israel and the Jews, but all ethnos or all nations. Ethnos is where we get the word ethnic. He will save all nations, all tribes and tongues of people. Jesus came, his mission was to renew, restore, revive, and rebuild. Now, Isaiah again predicted this, that he would come and be a suffering 700 years before he came, and he said, Jesus, when this Messiah comes, he didn't use the name Jesus, he said the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will be a suffering servant. They expected the Messiah to be a king coming in on a horse. He came in on a lowly donkey. Now, Isaiah predicted this 700 years before Christ, this Holy One, this Messiah, will be despised and rejected. Well, everybody's praying for a king to save them. They don't expect him to come and be all beat up and everything. But he came, and he was, when he did come, this prediction came true. He was despised, and he was rejected. Can any good thing come out of, from his beginning? They tried to kill all the kids. So we have minored in Isaiah and Luke, and now we want to look at trying to major in some of the practical applications with the little bit of time that we have left. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Okay, follow the story here. Jesus comes into Nazareth, his hometown, where he used to climb trees. He was a boy. He was raised here. Little was said about those first 30 years of his life, but much is said about from the age 30 to 33. There's much that has been said about us yet, but the best of it may not even have been written. There's things that God wants to do through you right now. He just needs you to be bold and courageous and to go for it. So when he came into the synagogue, he came unto his own people, the Jewish people, and they gave him a scroll. Of course, they didn't have the Bible. They had the scroll. He unrolled the scroll, and he went to the portion that was called from the prophet of Isaiah. It may have been, some people think, that he was assigned to read that particular, but be that as it may, he came to the part where it was written. This is what he read. And this is what Isaiah predicted 700 years ago, but this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Not physically, not necessarily financially poor, but you can be poor in many different ways, spiritually poor, etc. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We have many different forms of broken hearts, to preach deliverance to the captives. What has us captive here today? And recovering of sight to the blind. I once was lost, but now I see. I once was blind. How's it go? Now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. While you're alive here today, standing and walking, this is your only opportunity to receive Christ, to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you die and you're dead in the grave, I heard someone say, dead man can't make a choice. So this is your time to choose Jesus Christ. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the ministers and sat down. And the eyes of everybody was upon him in the synagogue. And he began to say unto them, this day the scripture is filled into your ears. I wish I could walk around. So Jesus came, he read Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He closed the book and he sat down. Everything that Jesus did, everything, every movement, everything was on purpose and for a purpose. When he sat down, he didn't sit in the regular chair. He sat in the seat of Moses. And that opened up their eyes because the seat of Moses was reserved for the Messiah. And so all the other rabbis or teachers who may have come, they wouldn't dare sit in the seat of Moses. Jesus is a revolutionary. Another reason why I like him. He came on the scene saying, you have heard that it's been said, thou shalt not kill. I say, if you just hate your brother without a cause, it's as if you killed him. He said, Jesus is a revolutionary. He came to fulfill, to bring more meaning to the word of God. He said, you have heard it said that if you, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you have committed it here. So Jesus, everything he did, so he sat in the seat of Moses, reserved. And then he stood up and he said, This scripture that you have heard has been fulfilled in your ears today. In other words, he said, I am he who you have been waiting for. But the people couldn't get past this because this is the little boy who was raised in their city climbing trees or doing whatever else they did in that portion of the city. John 1:11, I think the next scripture. He came unto his own and his own received him not. Jesus went back to his own community, his own people, his own Jewish people. I'm on John 1:11, yeah. And his people received him not. Have you ever loved a woman and the woman didn't love you? You came to, you stepped to her and she just nixed you. Jesus came to his own people. And his own people received him not. Mark 6:4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin. We say a prophet has no honor in his own town. If some of you are here tonight and you accept Jesus Christ this morning, when you go back to your community, your family, your friends, people that knew you, sometimes they will be the hardest ones to convince that you are a new man in Christ. But just let the Holy Spirit do his thing inside of you. Immediately, you may just stop doing anything you don't want to do, but sometimes it's a process. But Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as give their lives to Christ, he allowed them to become his son. And this is where Matthew said, can any good thing come out of Christ? Mission statement. Now, Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus, the Messiah, gave his mission statement. His Emmanuel here gives his formal declaration of his purpose, his ministry. He declares his inaugural address. What is an inaugural speech? A speech or a statement that makes the beginning of an institution, that marks the beginning of an institution, an activity, a period of office, like an incoming president. A president comes and he gives his inaugural address. If Jesus were running for president right now, would he win? Would you vote for him? Would you be willing to follow his laws and his commandments? In 1961, here's a quiz for you, see if you can answer it. Who said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country? Who said that?
JFK.
Kennedy. Now, I say to, and then he went on to encourage thousands of people to join the Peace Corps to do something with what they had just said. And now I say to you, ask not what God can do for you, but ask what you can do for God. And the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. In 1987, who said government is not the solution to our problems? Government is the problem, huh?
Reagan.
Yeah, y'all paid attention to school. I didn't know that until I read it. And I was alive at the time. Okay, all right. 16 years later, William Clinton said government is not the problem and government is not the solution. He said we the people, the American people, are the solution. Bill Clinton said, we, the American people, are the solution. Next slide, where it says Jesus Christ. Well, my fellow Americans, I say to you, and we're looking for the slide that says Jesus, if you're there. Hey, Jesus, where are you? Well, my fellow Americans, I say to you, standing here in this pulpit of Pottstown Bible Church, flat-footed and unapologetically, the only solution to the problems of this world is Jesus Christ. Will you vote for him? Will you follow him? He died for you. It's only reasonable that you should live for him. And now we're going to prepare to dismount. We cannot save ourselves. We can't even deliver ourselves from the many different addictions. Only Christ gave his life to save us. 2 Chronicles 2:7-14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. God can heal our land, but it's going to be when we do our part. Will you humble yourself and pray and turn from your wicked ways? renew, anachronosis. Now we're going to get into, I'm going to ask if the two gentlemen that I spoke with earlier, Alan and Irving, will come forward to take this homework assignment to pass out. And I'm also going to ask Rick, is Rick still here? If not, Alan and Irving, would you come up? Irving, are you coming forward? Irving, come on up. I just need you to pass out these homework assignments. This is your homework assignment. I want you to take them, and I'd like for you to do the homework assignment. Here we go. Listen now. Isaiah 6:1. Okay, renew, complete change for the better. Renew is anachronosis. That's the Greek word for renew. And it has the idea of a complete change for the better of mind and soul. 2 Corinthians, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have, well, I'm just going to do it from here. Okay, this is your assignment. Go through this during the week. Read your scriptures. And let's just start with the mission of the Messiah. And then I'm going to close this book. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 4:16, the inward man, although our outward man is dying daily, the inward man is being renewed. So I'm going to leave you with that assignment. And I'm going to give you now this invitation, and I'm going to ask if the musician would come forward. Before I give the invitation, listen to an idea. It's not even a vision yet, but it's an idea. The very township that evicts us from the tent city, God is able to touch the heart.